Let's get. We'll see if my dividing the recording worked out. Okay, so actually, so we're going to start our next segue now. Let me just say that we have about a week and change left this year because we have at least Tuesday, Thursday, and we have Sunday and Monday because Monday is really a Tuesday schedule. Right? That sound correct? So I think we have at least four shiurim. There's a chance I might be in on Wednesday if we want to do add a shiur this week on Wednesday. That might be annoying to you guys. So if you don't want that, you could, in a rasha and b'nei yiratav, vote me on this one. But so you have at least four shiurim. And I want to cover this issue that we're going to address now, lafi mamon, lafi nefashos govin. And then if we could also do rabbanan lo bayi netirusa, that would be great, in these four shiurim. If not, then we could push off rabbanan lo bayi netirusa for the beginning of next semester. But I think it'll be good to get it in this next week and a half, depending on how rich the discussion is there. That would be the plan. All right. Okay, so let's get into our discussion here. And we're going to come back to this issue of Hahu Chasida de Havaragil Eliyahu. That's really a tzedakah discussion, which we're going to come back to when we get to tzedakah. So to remind you, our Mishnah Daf Zayin Amud Beis speaks about Kofin Oso Livnos Beis Shaar V'Dalas L'Chatzer. The Bnei Oyir or the Bnei HaChatzer have a power to coerce other members to participate, to chip in to the costs of the public goods, right? The tzarchei ha'ir. But the question is, how are they supposed to raise funds for that? And so now we turn to what we spoke about in the first year as the distributional question. What's the proper way to distribute the costs of those public goods on the constituents of the year? Yes, is that what you take to be the main issue in the sugi? Right. And this is like every good question of tax policy. What's the most just, or what's the most reasonable, or what's the most right way to distribute the tax, distribute the cost, distribute the burden on the different members? Okay, and you should know in secular law and secular philosophy, this is like a major issue. You could have a flat tax, a progressive tax, an identical tax. So let's see what the halacha has to say about this. So our discussion starts on Zayin Amud Beis. Let's get a volunteer just to take us through the opening stages. Well, before you even look at the Gemara, how many different methodologies appear in the Gemaras that you've seen for how to assign the tax?
Seems there's three.
Okay, three. Zachariah, let's hear.
Fi nefashos, fi mamon, and fi kiruvatim.
Okay, so in our sugya, three come up explicitly: lefi nefashos, lefi mamon, lefi kiruvatim. Tell us what those are quickly, Zachariah.
Yeah, so it seems the fi nefashos is just a simple like headcount. Every person pays the same amount. Maybe even like number of people in your household you'd have to
Yeah,
pay for.
so good. So lefi nefashos would be a head count. So let's say a flat amount per each head, a head tax. But I think Zachariah is right that it's not per house. It's not neri shubeso, but it's you pay. You pay for each member of your household, correct?
Yeah.
By the way, which is very, in like Western democracies, it's the opposite, right? You usually get a tax break per member of your household, not that you pay a more amount based on the number of members that you have in your household. It's just an interesting way of thinking about what's the proper, intuitions could go in opposite directions, right? So you might say, hey, if I have seven kids, then nine people in my family are benefiting from the Defense Department, so I should chip in more. Right? That, but I don't think anybody like in Western democracies suggests that. Right? So it's just an interesting thing about what's the right perspective. And I think the halacha, lefi nefashos, thinks that's right. A household with many members has to bear the cost of the greater cost in of society than somebody with just one member in their household. Great point. It's higher. That's good. So nefashos is that, but it's an equal amount per head, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's reasonable, by the way, that once you're talking about per head, it should be in equal amounts. What's the theory for that, Zacharia?
Theory is that I guess like every individual is getting the same amount of benefit, or it's protecting people from like mortal peril, maybe. therefore, you know, everyone's the same in this regard.
Yeah, say a little more. So I think the Ramban says something on the Machtes HaShekel, Hadal lo yamit v'ashir lo yarbe. Is anybody familiar with this Ramban? I might be misquoting it.
I didn't see in the Ramban, but I just saw the Rabbeinu Yerucham that no one I looked at, that it was since the factor is kapara, every person equally needs the same amount of kapara.
Yeah, you could put it in terms of kapara. That's a very fascinating way of looking at it.
Yeah,
but you could even say more. Basically, you know, the worth of each human soul is the same. Now, there's a certain equality of persons. Somebody should check the Ramban. Who should we assign to look at the Ramban? Romy, you're our Ramban guy since you did the Ramban and Vayechi for us. So check up the Ramban on Machtes HaShekel, Ashir Lo Yarbe, Vadal Lo Yamit. See what he says there. See if he boils it down to Kapara or whether he says, you know, all Nefeshos are worth an equal amount, right? We don't think that one Nefesh is worth more than another Nefesh. Do we think that? Maybe that's implicit in the Halacha's commitment to Mi Yemar Didama Didach Sumak Tvei. Right, in Yehargval Yavar cases, we don't say that, you know, one person's blood is redder or worth more than another, right? Okay, so good. So Zachariah, that's the Lafi Nefashos. What else are we given in the Gemara?
We have Lafi Mamon, which
yeah, not just Lafi Mamon. One for what's another adjective or
yeah, has Lafi Shevach Mamon here.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
Unclear, but it seems from a Farshim that it was the proportional amount of wealth that this person has in that city.
Exactly. That yeah, meaning a person should pay their share of taxes in accordance with their wealth. So it seems like it's the wealthier you are, the more you're going to have to bear in the tax burden. It's actually not clear to my mind if this means it's a percentage tax and somebody with a larger estate is going to end up paying more because a percentage of a bigger number is bigger than a percentage, the same percentage of a smaller number, or if the idea is like a progressive tax, right? Something where it's just like hit the wealthy people with a higher amount and the poor people with a lesser, like a higher percentage and the poor people with a lesser percentage. And I don't think there's enough information here to distinguish between those two possibilities, right? Sky, do you agree?
Yeah, I think there's like a lot of very reasonable functions you can come up with for this.
Yeah. And I think the Yad Arma is trying to do that. We're going to try to look carefully at that really long Yad Arma. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I think this is what Zachariah is saying. It's also unclear whether it means like hard cash as opposed to wealth.
Yes. We'll see an explicit discussion in the Rishonim. Is this, does real estate a function of that contribute to the value, or is it literally just like cash?
Or even, yeah, I mean, I was also thinking even if like what that's what the example Zachariah gave. Like if you have money somewhere else, that doesn't count, even though meaning seemingly wouldn't count, even though you are wealthier and have more money.
Like your money in this town.
That's at risk, basically, yeah.
Exactly. Good. So we're going to get to that in a second. That's when we try to figure out what I outlined in the first year on this topic. Does the distributional question shed light on like why, like on what basis, what's the tax really being collected for? Or what's the justification for collecting the tax, right? Romy, and the points you're raising already entangle us in that issue. Yeah. So good. So Zachariah, we have Lafi Shevach Mamon, we have Lafi Nefashos. And what else does the Gemara give us?
Lafi Kirv Batin Hinkopin. The closer you are to the edge of the city, the more you should pay.
Yeah. So the idea is that the closer you are to the edge of the city, the more you should have to pay. Now, how do you envision that consideration? Why does proximity to the edge of the city, why should that be a reason to charge you more for the Choma?
It seems that you're at greater risk in general, as in the assumption being that, like, you know, bandits are only going to, you know, like the Amalek, they're only going to pick off the ones on the edge more so than the ones in the city center.
Exactly. Excellent. Excellent point. So actually where I live, I don't know if anybody knows Philadelphia, but it's like there's City Line Avenue, which is the border with the city of Philadelphia. And then there's like the suburbs. And like the farther you are from the city line, the safer it's considered. Because it's, you know, it's like sometimes violence and things from the city spills over into the first few blocks of the suburbs. But the deeper you go into the suburbs, like the safer it's assumed to be. So it's just like an interesting thing. It's like, mom is true about my, I'm like, when there were riots, like, I don't know, last year or 2 years ago, you know, it's like considered if you live like in the few blocks off city line, like that was a dangerous place to. And I think there's like greater carjackings and stuff like that, you know, closer to city line. I think that's exactly what the Gemara is envisioning here. Meaning if there was no wall, the bandits would, you know, they would come in, they would mess with the houses on the outskirts. It's easier for them. You do a quick get in and get out. As opposed to like a house that's like momish in the middle of the city. Does everybody see that? Yeah, and that's very intuitive. You know, sometimes they would say, you know, if you live right off a highway, there are usually more car thefts because they steal a car, you get on the highway and you drive off. Right. So that's what I think is being envisioned here. Okay. So what's the theory there? Is hard to, why should somebody next to the wall pay a greater amount? What's the theory?
Presumably they're benefiting more, they're at greater risk.
Yeah, what does Rashi say in Kirav Batim?
Yeah, so Bayis HaKarv L'choma, Sarech L'choma Seir, Yosef Ben Rachel. So it needs the wall more than the guy in the city center.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that, and we'll come back to that in 1 second. So we have three different methods of collecting on the table here. Lefi Nefashos, Lefi Shvach Mamon, and Lefi Kirav Batim. Is it clear in the Gemara Zecharia if these are absolute or mutually exclusive methods of distributing the tax, or could they maybe all be variables that get balanced in some way?
Yeah, it's not clear with the Ikadamri.
Yeah, right. So in principle, it could be that these aren't exclusive methodologies, but everyone pays in proportion to, you know, Nefashos, combined with some way of weighting the Shvach Mamon, combined with some way of weighing Kirubatim, right? So it may not be that this is just three different methodologies, but rather three different considerations that factor into some all things considered type of distribution. Does everybody see that? Okay. So Zechariah gives us three considerations. Let me ask you, did anybody read the Gemara in Bava Kamo Kuftaz Zayin Mabes, right, with the Shiara that's traveling in the desert? So I'm just curious, do you think there's maybe a fourth consideration that snuck in there into that sugya? Ariel?
Well, could you say Lefi Minhag there?
Yeah. It's very subtle in that Gemara. But if you notice, that Gemara sneaks in Minog as another consideration in how to distribute the tax. And then some later Rishonim that we're going to see run with that idea of Minog. Almost that Minog might outweigh the considerations that appear in our Gemara and Daf Zayin. This is a very fascinating question. Let's say there's a Minog about how taxes are collected where we live, right, in the United States. Is that minug more significant than the methodologies of Lefi Kirubatim, Lefi Nefashos, and Lefi Shvach Mamon? So let's just take a quick look at that Gemara in Bava Kamo Kuftaz Zayin Mabes. Who wants to volunteer to take us to that Gemara very quickly? Who prepared it? Eitan Jesselson, was that a hand?
Yes, sir.
Great. Take us to Kuftaz Zayin Mabes very quickly in Bava Kamo, Tan Rabbanan.
So there was this like caravan that was going in the desert. The Madala guys, the Torpa, and there was these robbers that came to take it, like steal from them. So you consider, you go according to the Mammon, you don't go according to the Nefashot. So if they rent, like buy a guide to guide them through the desert, then you consider Nefashot as well.
Yeah.
You take both into consideration.
So the idea seems to be that if they require a guide to get them to the desert safely, then their nefashos are on the line also.
Yeah. Right. So you don't change what the minhag is of the donkey guides, I guess.
Yeah. So what does that mean? So the lo yishan miminag hachamarin.
So if the donkey guides go lefi nefasha, you go according to nefasha. But if they go according to mammon, then you go according to mammon.
Yeah. So let's see what does Rashi say exactly. She'im nohagu. What is that? So take it away.
So you do according to what the guide does.
Exactly. Meaning if there's some established practice about how the guide charges everybody in the group for his services of getting them out of the desert, you know, you can imagine like these smugglers who smuggle people from North Africa into Europe, right? How do they charge the people who they smuggle into Europe? So, you know, the halacha says, well, lefi nefashos, lefi mamon govin. But if there's a minag, then the minag is controlling. Yes? So you see, Zachary, do you agree that this Gemara seems to make minag very prominent in how we assign the tax, right? So that seems to be a fourth consideration, this idea of minag. Let me just point out that minag comes up in another very important case that we're going to look at in a bit. But let me just fast forward there for a second. Also, Kufta Zayin, I'm based in Bava Kama. Did anybody get a chance to look at the Sfina case? It's almost like a Yonah story. Anybody see this Sfina case?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zacharias, take us through this Sfina case for a second.
Yeah, so Tanarbonan Sfina Shaisa Malachas Biyam, Amarla Nashal Etova, Fikil Masa'a. So there's a boat and there's a wave threatening to sink it, and they need to lighten the load on the boat. So they need to throw off a certain amount of weight. So we say, M'chashven l'fi masai, v'ei m'chashven l'fi mamon. So we throw things off proportional by weight, not by how much it's worth, lo yishanim minag hasafanim, but don't deviate from the minag of sailors.
Yeah, so strictly speaking, this is not really a tax question because they're not raising money. Right, for services in this case, they're trying to offload weight from the boat, but it's also a distributional question, right? Do you throw off the least significant things before the more? I think Mar says, no, it's whoever has more weight on the boat, like their stuff gets thrown off before somebody with less weight on the boat. So it's an interesting distributional question, not necessarily a tax raising question. But I just wanted to draw this to your attention here because what else features prominently here? That whatever the pure distributional question is, it yields to which consideration?
To minuk.
To minuk, exactly. So I would say that we have four considerations in the Gemara itself. We have minug, we have lefi nefashos, we have lefi shvach mamon, and we have lefi kirabatim. Okay, so let's go back to our Gemara on Babasar Dav Zayin and get a closer look. Okay, so given these background considerations. Okay, Zachariah, why don't you just take us through the Gemara and Daf Zayin base quickly? Bamine.
Yeah, so Bamine, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Kshin Govin, Lefi Nefashos Govin, Odon, Lefi Shavach Mamon Govin, Amarlei, Lefi Mamon Govin, Rabbi Elazar, Bani, Kvaba, Masmeros.
So what's going on in that first day?
Yeah, so you're saying, how should we collect for the wall? And it says Lefi Nefashos, or maybe Lefi Shavach Mamon, and he responds, it should be Lefi Mamon. And he says, you know, as my son lock in a salacha, which I think Noah had there's actually a hilarious pun because you're building a wall. So it's like, oh, like lock in the nails.
Ah, very cute.
But anyway.
Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept. Like, you know, kava ba mismaros, you know, make sure you rule this way. It's like, seems to, the halacha is trying to take a, you're talking about the halacha ossifying. This is, he's trying to ossify the halacha. He's trying to make sure that this ruling gets locked in.
Yeah.
Now, just your sense from the Rishonim. I know you already described what is Lefi Shvach Mamon and what is Lefi Nefashos, but how do they understand the crux of the debate here between the two views? So let's, for example, take us to Tosvos. What's the issue about?
Yeah, so it seems to be some sort of like Metzias question of why are they building the wall? That everyone agrees on in principle that if they're building it for mortal peril, it should be lefi nefashos. If they're building it for financial danger, then it should be lefi mamon. Oh. And it just seems to be some sort of machlokas metzias of why are we building this wall?
Yeah. So let's take us to Tosos. How does Tosos' comment suggest this?
Yeah, so lefi shavach mamon. So kiv the insa comes nefashos, lo azlinan elo basar mamon. Since there's no mortal peril, you only follow mamon.
Yeah. So Tosos seems to be suggesting exactly as Zachariah said, that everybody agrees if the robbers come for Mamonis, then the tax should be distributed Lefi Shvach Mamon. If the robbers are coming al Iskei Nefashos, then the tax should be distributed Lefi Nefashos. So everybody see that? That seems to be Tosas's underlying premise. So you could see Tosas is pretty explicit at the end of piece on Dav Zayin and Mabez. Chayyim just take us through this conclusion of Tosfos.
So if there's bandits and they can make a deal with them, then it's Lefi Mamon.
Exactly. Because what's really at threat is just the monetary loss. So if what's at risk is person's mamon, then they should pay Lefi Mamon. Okay.
In contrast, Aval Hechi Jutau Bimidbar, this seems to be also a mistake, where they get lost in the desert. Amar Haslam, the Machashman, Af Lefi Nefashos. We also consider, according to Nefashos, we shouldn't keep the Tau Ikas Kanas Nefashos, because there is mortal danger there.
Yeah. So Tosus is of the view that whether we collect Lefi Mamon or Lefi Nefashos really depends on what the risk is. If the risk is to Nefashos, then we collect according to Nefashos. If the risk is Mamon, then we collect Mamon. So my question here is, okay, why is that reasonable? Like, why is it that what we collect from should be determined by the risk? Josh, you have a hand on this?
I mean, I don't think this is the simplest explanation, but can you say that both sides are about the benefit received? When it's about how much money might be taken from you, so then obviously the more money you have, the more benefit, as opposed to when it comes to life, I assume we're going to value everyone's life equally, so whatever value we give to a life would be, for each person, that's the benefit they receive.
Oh, I think that's exactly the most straightforward way of reading the sugya. You know, and this is where this question that we posed in the first year comes to the foreground. Does the way we distribute the cost reflect on what the basis, the justification for imposing the tax is in the first place? And Josh is telling us the fact that the method of distribution is directly correlated to the risk, that indicates that the justification for imposing the tax in the first place is based on the benefit somebody is receiving. I think that's a very nice suggestion. Does everybody see Josh's suggestion? Right. So the thought is that if primarily it's your property that's benefiting, then you ought to chip in accordance with your hana. And a person with more money benefits to a greater extent from the protection he's getting. And if they're coming primarily Lefi Nefashos, then primarily you're benefiting in your nefesh. Everyone benefits the same way from saving their nefesh, so then it gets distributed equally. Right, Josh? Yeah. Do you guys agree with that, at least suggestion? And there's something intuitive about that. There's something intuitive about we charge you in accordance with the benefit you're receiving. Romy, you have a response to that?
Yeah, I mean, this is how I read Tosfos too, and I think it fits well with Gemara about the Shayarim, and it says like, oh, if it's also Nefashos, you'd also be Nefashos, and like it's clearly factoring in what's at risk as well. I mean, the one thing that kind of struck me, again, even though I think this is what Tosfos is saying, is that then the Gemara's conversation is kind of a weird one, like the Gemara and our Gemara. Like, oh, based on what should they pay is really just like, it depends on the cases. I'm not really debating anything except the Metzius. Or a different way to say it is the Gemara should have just said, Hana.
Exactly. I agree with you, but it's, you know, our hands are tied here and that the Rishonim seem to go that way.
Yeah, no, right? I definitely agree. It seems like a lot of, that's, yeah. Everyone,
right. It's almost like strange that the Rishonim run with this. I think, yeah, the Nemuke Yosef, Romy, I'm sure you saw, is the most explicit about this, right? Like the question in the Gemara is not a legal question. It's really a factual question about why do robbers come, right? Are robbers coming to kill or are they coming to loot?
Right. So the one thought I did have on that was like in the whole conversation of Minhag. So maybe like a lot of what's important in a lot of these issues, I guess in Bavasra in general, or the first few Prakim, is establishing a default so that if there is no, or if it's unclear, I don't know exactly how it would work. Like you don't know exactly why these people are coming and there's going to be a war. How are you going to, whatever. So, okay, maybe this is the stam das or something like that.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. I mean, it's important to establish factually even what the default is. But Romy, since you raised this, why don't you just read this Namuka Yosef comment very quickly on Hey Amid Aleph in the Dape Rif, Ubayazu.
Yeah, Ubayazu, Kamosh Omen, Gaisa Ba Machmat Mamon, Im Yigbu, Lefi Shevach Mamon, O Im Ba Machmat, Nefashas, Vigbu, Lefi Nefashas.
Oh, right, so it's like, so that that baya is about,
it's just like which one, what's the matzias, like why do they come?
Well, exactly.
Although, yeah, although you really could formulate in terms of why does stam geisa come, like really is that kind of thing.
100%. But it seems to be that everyone agrees if they're coming for nefashos, you pay lefi nefashos. Mm-hmm. If they're coming lefi mamon, you pay lefi mamon, which supports Josh's point. We're trying to see in what way you're benefiting, mm-hmm. right? And so just finish that quotation. So
Rabbi Yochanan Hishilo the guy Salo Asi Ella Al Iske Mamon Hilkach Lishavach Mamon Him Govin Aval Yadu Ashra Isabal Iske Nefashos Mechashos Nefashos.
Exactly. So it's almost you have to do a, there has to be a factual finding in each case to determine why in fact did the guys come. If they came for money, pay lefi money. If they came for nefashos, you pay lefi nefashos, which is very, very reasonable, right? Zachary, you agree? Yeah. Okay. Now, just Zachary, take us back to the last part of our Gemara, coming back to Daf Zayin. So we have an Ika de Amri. After the Gemara says a stam gaius is ba for mamon, but according to the Namuka Yosef, if we knew it came l'shem nefashos, then you'd have to pay l'fi nefashos, which I think all points to Josh's interpretation, right? That this is about you're paying for the hana.
Yeah.
Ika de Amri.
So Kedamri, Vamine, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Shin Govin, Lefi Kir Bantanin Govin, Odilna, Lefi Mamon Govin. Amalei, Lefi Kir Bantanin Govin, Falazar Badi, Kavaba Masmeros.
Yeah. And I guess Tosos here points out that when we talk about Lefi Kir Bantim, what is this? What's the key discussion here? How do these two parts of the Sugya relate to each other?
They're not mutually exclusive. We do Lefi Mamon and Lefi Kir Bantim.
Exactly. That the Gemara is not trying to say it's exclusively based off proximity versus exclusively being based off monetary value. It's some combination of the two, right? So you get the, you know, we hire the math majors here to figure out a fair way of assigning weight to distance versus assigning weight to how much a person's monetary worth or their net worth in this town, correct? Yeah. Now, I think, by the way, that's also consistent with the Hana theory, because as Rashi said, a person who's closer to the town border is tsarich l'choma sa'ir yoser min aracho, right? They're in need and therefore they benefit from the wall more than somebody who's far away. So it's sensible that they should pitch in more than somebody who benefits from the wall to a lesser degree, correct? Yeah. So I think everything in this Gemara actually could work out very nicely with saying the underlying conceptual obligation, the underlying basis for liability is correlated to the amount that you, to the benefits you receive. Okay. Well, we're going to see in the next year. So we're going to go through some of, in the next year, we're going to go through some of these, just interesting distinctions that come up in the Rimigash and the Ritva. That's like going to be very quick, but then we're going to look carefully at this Mordechai. I don't know if you guys saw the Mordechai yet. So the Mordechai, I think, actually offers us a different way, contrary to Josh's way, of reading the basis of imposing a tax or first distributing the tax. Anybody remember what the Mordechai seemed to suggest? Anybody get the sense that the Mordechai was pointing to a different Mechayev? So when you read the Mordechai, I want you to think, is he suggesting that we're assigning, that we're distributing the tax in accordance with the degree to which you are inciting the robbers to come to the town? So not in accordance with how much you're benefiting from the protection, but actually in accordance with how much you are risking the town with your behavior and your property. Okay, is that, does everybody see that? That's very different. Yes. You might say one of them is almost you're paying lefi the hana, and one of them is you're paying lefi the chisaron that you're imposing, right? The risk that you're creating for everybody else, the cost that you're imposing on the community. Because if you have a lot of money, that's attractive to robbers. So if you have a lot of money, then you're a reason partially for the robbers coming. And one fascinating source that the Mordechai is going to point to is the boat case, which we just read in Bava Kamma, at the end of Bava Kamma, that when you have to get rid of the weight from the ship, how do you get rid of it? Lefi Mishkal. Because it's the heavier weight which is causing the ship to sink. Right? So I think that's a different way of thinking about the distribution of the tax. So let's talk about this. Lefi Mamon, Lefi Nefashos, Lefi Minog. And we'll get a little deeper into this discussion on Tuesday. And I'll send out on the WhatsApp a little more precisely, you know, what I want you to, which Makoros I want you to focus on. All right, guys, I apologize for Shir on Zoom today. Hopefully, I think it's our last Zoom Shir, hopefully forever, but definitely for the semester. Definitely Shir Tuesday, Thursday. Let's talk on Tuesday if we want to add one on Wednesday, if that's helpful, or, you know, we don't want to cut into Romy's writing center time. We'll see what everyone's schedule is. All right, Yasher Koach, everybody, great discussion. And looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Thank you.